we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Tuesday, and Christmas is on the way. Welcome to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And I want you to know our purpose here on the radio station is to refresh others so that we also may be refreshed. But our mission as a church, which falls along the same lines of that, is we exist to be a blessing. And I just want to say thank you over the past 12, maybe 13 months, I'm not sure exactly there. But there have been two random events that have happened to me while I was in the community. One was I went to order a pair of glasses. We have a prescription plan and all of that sort of stuff, and went to order my glasses. This was around Christmas time last year, either slightly before, slightly after, don't remember exactly which one. And something happened with the credit card that we were using. They had sent out a replacement card or something, and we had the old card and didn't have the replacement card with us. And I said, well, I'll go home and we'll figure out what's going on and we'll come back and get it. And got home, had been home a few minutes, and the lady from the optometry shop, the eyeglass place, called me and said, you don't have to worry about rushing back down here. Don't worry about it. There was a person who paid for your glasses in its entirety. And I was like, well, I had the money. and she said, no, it wasn't about that. They just wanted to be a blessing to you, and so they paid for your glasses. And it was like, well, that's wonderful. And here a couple of weeks ago, I was running to grab a bite to eat, and they know me well there, and so I pulled up and I'd ordered basically the same thing, not quite the same thing I'd normally do. I'd varied it one item, and ordered a burrito instead of a taco. And they said, the person up in front of you said, Merry Christmas, and they've paid for your meal. And don't know either one of these people. And I just want you to know that the blessings of God are good. God's people are wonderful agents of blessing. That's why we exist at Merritt Assembly of God. But I want you to know it is not a one-way street. That we are blessed by God in order to be a blessing to others. And I know that Cindy and I have sown a lot of seeds into blessing other people, giving away automobiles and things of that nature, and other things that we don't even try to keep track of. We just sow seeds whenever God lays it upon our heart. But I want you to know that every time you are a blessing, God is going to make sure that you are blessed in advance and as a result of you being a blessing. So I just thought I'd share that with you today. Christmas season, I talk to servers, I talk to people in the retail industry, banking industry, and I ask them, how's everybody treating you today? And a lot of times I hear, you know, that people are not all that kind during this time of year. And so I just want to give a shout out to those who are being a blessing to those around them. And I pray that you will follow their example and represent Jesus well during this Christmas week and thereafter. So today I want to take you in the scriptures to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. There are not many passages in scripture that I can tell you exactly when God quickened that passage to me, but this is one of them. I can tell you that it was in the Christmas season, and it would have been in 1996. And my wife was working the graveyard shift, which almost put her in the graveyard. It was not a shift that was conducive to her physiologically, and was pretty challenging in other dynamics as well, young kids and going to school and all of that sort of stuff. And I came across this passage, and there was a spiritual attack that happened. It was a manifestation of three different medical tests, and after that had happened, my wife had a dream. This was before these things had happened, about three tornadoes that kept coming at her, and they kept getting repelled at each one. And I said, you know what? If preaching this message has, stirred things up in the spiritual realm to where my wife is being attacked physically, I'm going to just preach a whole revival. And so come January, I preached a week-long revival at Merit Assembly of God on Psalm 43. Psalm 42 and 43 are parallel psalms in that, or partnered psalms. They go together. They're complementary with one another. They keep repeating over and over again, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That's in Psalm 42, verse number 5. You would find the same thing again in Psalm 42, verse 11. You would find it again in Psalm 43, verse number 5. So, there's only 16 verses there. It's broken down over two psalms. And as I was doing my research for this seeking truth and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I was surprised to find Psalm 43 here in my research. And so let me take you through Psalm 43 today over the next 20 minutes, and let's see if we cannot see how important it is for us to have a vibrant relationship with God before catastrophe, before challenges, before adversity hits. Psalm 43, verse number 1, we'll read all five verses. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So Psalm 43 is after, you know, Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? There was a challenge to the psalmist's faith there, to the sons of Korah, and they kept revisiting. They said, this is what I really want to go. They found themselves in a time of adversity that was impacting them as far as their soul goes, their mind, their will, their emotions, their life was being impacted. And so verse 11 of Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? And they knew the solution. It said, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43 begins and says, God, vindicate me. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation and deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. So when I was doing my research, that word vindicate we look at it and we say, I'm vindicated, you know, I'm proved right. Well, when you invite God to vindicate you, there are many steps in that process. So the first word that I came across in doing my study for that message many years ago was God, judge me. God, judge me. You know, there's a huge saying that is out there. It says, don't judge me. I want you to understand that is 180 degrees opposite of what the heart after God cries out. When you are crying for a righteous judgment, you appeal to the righteous judge who knows all about the situation, all about your heart, the other people's heart, and you are not afraid to say, God, judge me. If I am guilty, let me know that I have done something wrong. So there was a time I went to a person. It was kind of a conversation that had happened off the cuff. It wasn't something either one of us really planned. We just ended up being at the same place at the same time. We ended up having a discussion about a business situation that I was going through. And I made a comment about the person we were doing business with. I got to my seat, and I got judged by God. I did. There are thousands of people around, and God was had a spotlight on me. Nobody else was hearing the conversation, but I can tell you it went like this. How dare you? And I said, how dare I what? I didn't know I did anything. I thought I was just having a conversation. And he said, how dare you sow seeds of discord? And I was like, well, God, I didn't mean to do that. It wasn't my intention. And he said, well, you need to get up. You need to go repent and apologize to that person. And when I did, the person said, brother, it's no big deal. And my response was this. It was a big enough deal to God that God got my attention over there. And so if it's okay with you, I'm going to repent because God told me to. See, when God judges us, his judgment is never going to be wrong. There are a lot of people that don't want to subject themselves to the judgment of God because they know deep down in their spirit that they are living contrary to the word of God. And God's word's not opinion. It's true. It's true. And so the first thing is God judge me. The second aspect of that is God correct me. God correct me. Now, here's a personal confession. I hate correction. I hate correction because I hate being wrong. And more than anything, I hate having done something that needs to be pointed out that I need to be corrected for on a public scale. I generally don't get involved too much with private businesses whenever there's employee and employer or management level discussions. But there was a business that I was visiting one time, and the manager was in there in front of customers and everything, cussing out an employee. This is not in private. This is very public. Cussing them out, ranting and raving and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, you know, that is not the way that correction is supposed to be handled at all. And I happened to know somebody in that organization, and I communicated that to them, and they said, thank you for letting us know. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time that we have heard this about this individual. And they ended up having to do some sort of correction. I don't know what correction they did. It's kind of an industry with a lot of turnover. But I do know this, that if God disciplines me, he's never going to do it just to make himself feel better. There are too many people who, when they are administering correction or discipline to their kids or to their employees, if there's a disagreement between their spouse, if there's a disagreement with a relationship on another level, that they rant and rave and express anger and rage, and the result is not about correcting the other person's behavior. The person is actually more concerned about correcting that person so that they themselves feel better. I know that's the case because I've seen it. And so if you are ever in the position where you have to administer correction, I encourage you to do this. Make sure that you pray your flesh out of the process. Make sure that you are praying for the person so that you are setting them up for success, not that you are trying to destroy them from any future success. So there are people that I've had to correct. By the way, that was one of my least favorite and is still one of my least favorite things to do when it comes to dealing with employees, whether it was in the retail world or any place else, was I just didn't like conflict. It didn't mean that I didn't do it, but I just don't enjoy it. But when God corrects us, He corrects us so that we do not continue to repeat the mistake, and that should be the goal of our correction as well. So vindicate me, O God, against an ungodly nation. We find ourselves in a nation that is hostile towards the things of God right now. We are finding ourselves in situations where there are deceitful people that are persecuting the godly, and here in America, like never before, that there are people who are behaving in unjust manners, and we cry, vindicate me, O God. In other words, govern me, correct me. Before you do anything with them, God, start with me. God, before you start with them, start with me. And I will tell you that you will never find an individual that is more compassionate, more merciful in their correction when you are submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ than Jesus himself. Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful corrector. Okay? The third thing, the third aspect was govern me. Govern me. Do you know that the Word of God was not given so that the Bible publishing industry would exist? The Word of God was not written so that only a few people would be able to understand what the Word of God has to say. No, the Word of God was given to us that we might hide His Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him, that we might know what God's desire is, know what God's Word teaches, know what spiritual truth is, that we might live a life under the ordinances of God, the commands of God. And so when we say, God, vindicate me, we're saying, God, govern me or judge me. Wherever I need correction, correct me. Govern me in such a way that I will be able to live victoriously in this area of my life so that I never have to be here again. The fourth aspect is avenge or revenge. That's where we get our typical understanding of vindication. Is God, vindicate me, avenge me. What the psalmist writes here is that there were an ungodly nation and there were unjust and deceitful people who were trying to destroy him. And you know, if there's somebody out there that's got a better definition of this, please feel free to let me know at meritassembly@hotmail.com. I've asked people and they never really could give me a distinction. But I believe that there is a slight distinction between avenge and revenge. Okay? By the way, the scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Okay? And so my understanding of avenging someone is that there's a plan that someone has to do harm to another person, and a person comes in and avenges that situation, and they prevent it from happening. They stop it in its tracks. And I believe that when we get to heaven, we are going to find that that little baby that was born in a manger and grew up to be the Savior of the world, that died on the cross and right now is risen from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is at his right hand praying and interceding for the saints, that he has intervened and thwarted a lot of enemy's plans and destroyed his tactics. The shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. I'm here to tell you that life is hard, but I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find that we had a much more proactive Savior than what we realized, and that he intervened and spared us a lot more than what we thought. The other is to revenge, and you know that the enemy has done horrible things to you. I know that the enemy has done horrible things to me. I know that there's been a lot of attacks that weren't justified. I know that there have been a lot of tactics that were used, and sometimes they had some impact. But I'm here to tell you, I don't have to walk around in bitterness. I don't have to go around trying to vindicate myself. I've got a God that I can commit that process into his hands and trust him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the sovereign over all the universe, over everything that has ever happened in the past, happens in the present, or will happen in the future. I don't have to go around lamenting, woe is me, woe is me, because I've got a God who's going to take care of me, and he's also going to take care of my spiritual enemies as well. So that's how Psalm 43 begins. We're not going to get all the way through it today, so we'll have to carry it over till tomorrow. But he says, God, plead my cause. Jesus is the best advocate, the best attorney that this world has ever seen. I know that there's all of these ads for lawyers, and they all take different approaches. Hi, we're small. We'll give your case all of the personal attention that it needs. Hi, we're the biggest. We're the meanest. We're the most successful. We generate the largest amount of income, and we charge you the most amount of fees. I'm just the coolest attorney that's out there, and look at all this free stuff that we've got, and we want to put our skills to use for you. I want you to know, above all of that, there is a Savior who is your advocate, your attorney, and he wants to plead your cause. Not just before the Father, but he is able to intervene. He's able to take the heart of a person and steer it like a water course. Plead my cause. What is your cause? A lot of times if we ask people, what is your cause? They would say, me. I'm my cause. I want that, and you need to get that for me. I want you to know that as a believer, you have a bigger cause than self to live for. This is about the kingdom of God and his righteousness and making sure that as many people as possible hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and that they have the opportunity to have their sins forgiven. Verse 2 says, God, deliver me, for you are the God of my strength. You are the God of my strength. So how strong are you? You see, I'm holding a piece of paper in my hand. It's the schedule of the people that I mention here on the radio program. And by itself, that piece of paper has very little strength. But I tell you what, if I wrap it around something that's invincible, then all of a sudden it's a much more formidable source of strength than anything else. That's what happens with us. In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. It's manifest as his strength, not our strength. And so one of the things that I've been sharing with our congregation, I've been doing a, a series on you are able to stand. God is able to make us stand. And one of the things is that God stands by us to help us, and he stands by us to strengthen us. He stands by us to strengthen us. Can I give you permission? It's not really my permission. I just want to put it in those sense of terms. You are not meant to be the devil's doormat. You are meant by God Almighty to be more than an overcomer through Jesus Christ who loves you. You are meant to walk in spiritual power and spiritual authority. You are meant to be the head and not the tail. You are meant to cause the devil heartache, not for the devil to cause you heartache. So, God, you are the God of my strength. So you need to know that. You need to know who he is. It goes on and says, why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy. I want to just take the last couple of minutes here to shift your focus. So we have a new live streaming camera, and it's more complicated than my phone was, which we were using. But it has the ability for me to punch a button and it will autofocus on the things that I want it to autofocus on. Now, I have the ability to manually adjust that as well, but I like that autofocus where it says, these are the things here that we need to focus on. And it outlines them and it tells you, okay, we're good to go. Don't you wish you had an autofocus where you could focus on that which is true, on that which is aligned with God's word? I was having a conversation with one of my daughters, and she was saying that one of her doctors had shared this with her and said, don't let the negative reports of the enemy echo around inside your mind like an echo chamber. Instead, cause yourself to read the Word of God, to think on the Word of God, to feed on the Word of God, and allow your fears to starve to death and your faith to be built up. I can tell you today, the enemy wants you to think that you're defeated, but Christmas is proof that Jesus came and moved heaven and earth so that you and I could live a godly and holy life. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.